Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. It's November 18th, 2013. Yay, Chicago Bears. For those of you that are fans of the Monsters of the Midway, I think they've been called in the past. In overtime, the Bears win. Kind of a fun game to watch. Fighting Illini looking good. Of course, being sensitive to our Indiana listeners in Purdue and Indiana. We just wish all of our college and professional athletes are healthy, compete fairly, and provide great entertainment. But it was a fun weekend to watch some of the sports, along with attending church, getting fed spiritually, and spending good time with friends. In fact, this past Friday night, the Great News Radio Board got together. Almost all the local members were able to attend, and a few who could not, Phil Shepard with the Moody Broadcasting Network, he was out of town, and Dr. David Dunn, who continues to be on our board and is one of our founding board members, lives in Missouri and couldn't drive in. But it was great to just have dinner, talk about the radio ministry, and just get caught up on each other's lives. So yay God for the Great News Radio Board that has been so instrumental and used of the Father to direct this radio ministry all these many years. Well, a few days ago, I had Erica Harold in the studio. She and her father, Bob, who's her campaign manager, drove out and shared some of the things going on in her life as she's running for U.S. Congress. Well, knowing she had a faith story, serves on the National Board for Prison Fellowship. Many of you are familiar with that because of Chuck Colson. Was a former Miss America in 2003, graduated from the University of Illinois, lived locally, and has returned and practicing law locally in Champaign, attends Meadowbrook Church. I thought it'd be great to have her introduced to our radio listening family. So here's my conversation with Erica Harold from a few days ago.
Well, Erica, thank you so much for being available for this edition of Mark and Friends. And your father, Bob, I guess I was going to say your agent, but he's your...
He's now the official campaign manager.
Campaign manager. He's in the doorway tending to Beamer, making sure Beamer's not misbehaving here in the studio. But thanks for driving out a little country drive. But you've been covering a lot of Illinois lately because you're running for office. And I've been a cheerleader in the background. I think I read a News Gazette story, I don't know if it was a year or so ago, but it was like you were entertaining the idea of running for office. And they had some stories of some of your faith journey and being involved in the Chuck Colson Center. And
yes.
Most of our listeners know from the program Breakpoint that Chuck Colson was a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, had a powerful testimony, and it mentioned you were involved in that. And I thought, oh, that's a good sign. She's probably a believer. And I've known about your father, Bob, and Donna, the legacy. They've been involved in Meadowbrook Church and Christians and have good testimonies. And so I thought, now this Erica, I wonder if someday I can maybe interview her and learn a little about her faith story and why she would go from the pageantry, being Miss America, to
right.
being involved in politics. And I thought, this will be an interesting story. So how about for our radio listening family, just to give a little snapshot into some of your life journey, and literally, why are you putting yourself out there where you can be criticized, put down, misread, media spin, can say anything they want that's not fair or true or helpful? Why would you want to do that? And then what do you want our listeners to know about Erica Harold, who's running for office?
Well, I prayed a lot before becoming involved in the political arena, but I believe if you care about your country and mm-hmm. you want to serve and you feel that you might be able to make a difference, that it's incumbent upon you to try to run for office and give voters a choice and try to serve in that capacity. And you're right, it's a daunting arena. It's an arena in which people wake up every morning and their sole job is to find ways to distort your words and to cast them in a different light. But I think right now is a time for people who believe in this country to stand up and to be willing to serve, even if it's at difficult consequences for them.
Hmm. Now, you said praying it up. Now, if some of our listeners are unfamiliar with that concept, what does it mean to pray? Or is praying like you just throw a message up into the air? Do you have a relationship with God? Take us back to maybe some of your formidable years. I mean, Miss America, people are going to be interested in just knowing, how does Miss America decide to run for politics? And so what's some of your faith journey? What does it mean that you were praying things up?
Well, I think praying is about having a relationship with God and having it be a dialogue where you're praying and you expect that God is going to respond to you. And I think that looks different for different people. So it's not as if I have audible conversations with God. I think that would be amazing, but that doesn't happen. But it's reading the Bible. It's being attentive to what he might be doing. And I think that if you grow up in a Christian home, you have challenges for your faith, especially when you go to college and you're confronted with other ideas and other philosophies. And so growing up in a Christian home is not going to be sufficient to sustain you. You actually have to have your own relationship with God, and it has to be meaningful to you. And I read a lot of C.S. Lewis when I was in college, too, because I think he's one of the great Christian thinkers and writers who challenges you, not just from a Christian perspective, but intellectually. What does it mean to love God with your whole heart and mind?
Now, your father, Bob, and Donna, and kudos to Bob being a campaign manager. I mean, I probably didn't need another whole side job that's 24/7 demanding. And yet, I'm assuming he prayed it through and desired to support his daughter that he loves. And I know you have two other sisters and another brother. And so, did you all attend Meadowbrook growing up? Was this part of your background? Like, mother and father took you to church and you grew to appreciate Ron Strack over there at Meadowbrook?
Well, we've been fortunate as a family to have a variety of Christian influences in our life. And when I was a teenager, I attended Urbana Assembly of God, which is now Stone Creek, and I attended Salem Baptist Church in Champaign. And so we've attended a variety of churches and still have those people and those church families as an integral part of our lives. And I think that's something that's been really special, to be able to have so many wonderful Christian mentors and to be part of a great Christian community within this town.
Yeah, no, actually, both those pastors, Pastor Grogan, good friend, and Pastor Shelby.
Yes, Reverend Shelby.
Took him to Israel with me some years ago. And I think, isn't it your sister that's in Israel now?
Yes, my sister married Brian Randall, and he's playing basketball professionally overseas in Israel. And it's been fascinating to understand that country from their perspective. Mm-hmm. And basketball is huge. Yeah. And so it's been fun to follow along.
Well, a little shout out for Ron Strack. Appreciate Ron there at Meadowbrook Church. And in fact, C.J. Sizemore, who is a member there, and he sings with the Singing Men of GNN. He's the Singing Men manager. He kind of gave him that title to alleviate some of my workload, but he said...
It's always good to delegate titles to people, because with titles hopefully comes responsibility.
Yeah, and less work for the individual, and CJ actually helped or was instrumental. I don't know if he knows you or Bob or both of you, but he said, I think I can get Erica to agree to coming out to the home studio and recording a broadcast, so a little shout out.
He's a great family friend.
Yeah, good guy. In fact, had him on the morning program some months back. So here you're in this arena, you're growing up in a Christian home, you're feeling led to put God first, and yet you also, you know the importance of studies and going away to college. When did the Miss America become a important part of where you're going to be heading? And then transition us into, how did you discern, like, you're going to be involved in politics?
I was studying at the University of Illinois. That's where I went to school. And that's when I first started competing in pageants. I know people usually have this stereotype that if you grew up to be Miss America, you probably were in child pageants like Toddlers and Tiaras, like those specials that you see on television. But I did not start competing until I was in college. And I started competing for college scholarships. I wanted to be able to pay for my education. I was looking to go to law school. And I saw being involved in the Miss America organization as a great way of both being able to pay for school, but it also gives you a voice and a platform to be able to communicate to young people about a wide variety of issues. And I'd been involved in public speaking when I was younger, and I thought this would be a wonderful platform to be able to both pay for school and to be able to have a voice. And so I started competing, and I didn't necessarily know that it would lead me to the Miss America stage, but right after I graduated from the University of Illinois, I was looking to apply to law school. And I knew the financial limitations that I had. I didn't have a lot of money, but my dream school was to go to Harvard. I really wanted to go to Harvard Law School. I was not sure, however, whether I would be accepted, and I also had no idea how I would pay for it. But I had a great, wise college advisor at the University of Illinois, and she said, if that's your school, then you just need to apply, and if you get accepted, find a creative way of paying for it. And so I sent in my application, prayed, hoped that I would get an acceptance in return, and got this large box in the mail. And I thought, I think this is probably an acceptance because they would not need an entire box to tell me that I was going to be denied admission. But got accepted to Harvard Law School and realized that it would cost about $175,000 to attend. And that was far outside of any financial resources that I had. But I really felt that this is where I was supposed to be. And so I told my parents, I'm going to try to become Miss America this year, because if I can become Miss America, that will afford me the scholarship money necessary to be able to pay for law school in its entirety. And so I gave it one more attempt and put down my deposit at Harvard and ended up being crowned Miss Illinois and then Miss America 2003 and earned enough scholarship money to be able to pay for it in its entirety.
Take us a little through that, because I think the average person just is clueless, and I'm certainly clueless, to become Miss America. I mean, I don't know.
You're saying you don't know everything that goes on in the backstage world of pageantry.
Well, and I have empathized with you, and you don't even know this, but I'm like, what pressure. I would hate to be labeled Miss America, because you would have to worry about how you look 24 hours a day and everything about everything you did, and yet almost that prepares you greatly to be a politician out in the public eye and all the pressures. And I mean, you're kind of used to that, but I thought, wow, to be known as Miss America, I was like,
it does raise the expectations.
I mean, you're beautiful. I mean, lovely to look at. But I'm just like, that would be so hard. I mean, I've always thought that.
I think one of the things you quickly realize is that no human being can be perfect. Mm-hmm. You know that as a Christian. But you have to also realize that is Miss America. So there will be people who, when they see you, say, you're Miss America?
Yeah.
But I think what people probably don't realize about the Miss America organization is that the majority of the points are awarded based on interview and performing talent and your community service attributes. And so you make that the focus on your interactions with people, and know that there will be some people who think that you're attractive and some people who don't. But the purpose is to be able to inspire people. And I think the mark of a good Miss America is, if at the end of the year, do people remember how you look? Or do they remember what you stood for?
And that was 2003. And I can't remember exactly, but I think you had a stance, like you talked about, like abstinence or something at the time. And I won't say it was controversial, but
it was controversial.
But for me and for maybe many of our listeners, it was like, what a great stance that you took. And, you know, we were cheering you on. And one of the reasons I have you in the broadcast is because of your stellar witness and testimony and desire to serve God and yet to serve mankind and to blend that. And I'm a passionate believer out of that Colossians passage. Whatever you do, work at with all your heart is working for the Lord, not for men. So you don't have to be a pastor or missionary to serve kingdom purposes. And you're taking your expertise, your talent, your public speaking skills, your desire to help people, to assist those that are hurting, and use politics. At that time, you were using the Miss America platform.
Crown.
Yeah, platform, crown, to go around and share a message. But what was the transition to take that and then to lead into politics? Because you went to Harvard Law School, you're a successful lawyer serving and practicing in Chicago. Now you're in the greater Champaign-Urbana area. But when did you start saying, you know, maybe God, I could use some of my influence into politics to influence change and positive policy, if you will?
I've had an interest in politics for quite some time. So I first started getting involved in pro-life issues and political issues when I was about 17 or 18. And I've had an interest in our government, our Constitution. And so those have been principles that actually existed prior to me becoming Miss America and entering law school. I viewed both of those as great vehicles to give me experience in serving in the public forum. And my interest in politics, though, started very young because I was sort of a political junkie and a nerd. I have no athletic ability, so I'm the non-athlete in my family. But I've always viewed our political process and our democracy as being unique, because so many countries around the world, average citizens are not able to be engaged and involved. But our country is unique, where we have civil liberties, we have religious freedom, we have freedom of expression. And if you want to make a difference, ours is a country where anyone who desires to serve can do so.
Mm-hmm. It's like a calling that you're passionate about and you're seeing it being birthed and now realized. But the process isn't all that easy, is it?
The process, I think, is arduous. if you want to be involved in the political arena, it is intellectual engagement, it's spiritual engagement, it's engagement on every single level, and you do face criticism. And the goal as a Christian is to be able to be an advocate for your views and beliefs, but to do so winsomely, and to do so in a way that also takes into consideration that there are people who don't share your faith background. And so you want to be able to present your ideas in a way that is inclusive and that gives people who may or may not agree with you from a faith perspective a reason to support your political views. And so my focus of my political platform is focusing it on the Constitution. I think our Constitution is it's a masterpiece in terms of a political framework for governance and for protecting individuals' liberties and limiting the ability of the federal government to encroach upon each and every one of our lives and decisions. And so I make that the focus of my political platform because regardless of your faith background, that Constitution, that document is something that we can all rally around.
I know I mentioned this early on in the broadcast, but if you want to find out more, you can stop by ErikaHerald.com. That's ErikaHerald.com, E-R-I-K-A.
The K, yes.
Yeah, put in that K, H-A-R-O-L-D.com, ErikaHerald.com. Now, I know, Erica, you're going to be serving all the constituents, so there will be people from different faith journeys, faith walks, knowing that the preponderance of our listeners are Christians, but I do have Jewish friends, I have atheist friends. How will your policies or how will you maybe your Christian faith influence some of the decisions you make? Because you will literally be representing people from all walks of life.
Absolutely. I think when you run for a political office, you are representing people. If you ultimately win, you're representing people who voted for you and people who did not vote for you, people who share your views and who do not. So first of all, you're taking an oath to uphold the Constitution and to be a good, faithful representative for every person within your district. And I think that your faith should be reflected in the kind of person that you are. You need to conduct yourself with honor, integrity. You need to be truthful. You need to engage in politics in a way that is respectful to all people. It shouldn't be a surprise to people that you are a Christian. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be engaged in politics in a way where you're being negative. Mm-hmm. But my political platform is focused on the Constitution because it's something that protects religious freedom and separation of church and state. So people who don't have any faith background at all are still able to be protected under the First Amendment. And I think it's really important, if you are a person of faith, that you lay out where your political philosophies lie so that people can have a great sense of comfort that even if they don't share your religious beliefs, that they understand that you would be a good representative for them because you're going to protect the Constitution, which ultimately protects everyone's freedom of conscience.
And I think a case in point, recently we attended a gathering at Fred and Diane Gottheil's house. They're Jewish friends of mine that I've known for many years, and he's just a phenomenal teacher, professor at the University of Illinois.
An
people
amazing
love him.
Professor.
Oh, great, great guy. And Diane, they're just sweethearts. And Jewish, and generally the Jewish population votes Democrat and many times have different points of view, but they embraced you, had you over, had a lot of friends, and I was invited and others gathering to support you, to learn more about your stance. And so that's a case of somebody, different faith traditions, and yet really believes in who you are and what you want to represent. So what would you want our listeners to know about you and maybe your policy or your thoughts on how you would serve them most effectively as a congressman and maybe a future role? Who knows where the Lord may lead you?
I think the most important thing people should know about my political philosophy is my emphasis on the Constitution. As a lawyer, I've had the opportunity to defend religious and not-for-profit groups when their First Amendment freedoms were being encroached upon. But my premise really is the Constitution because it lays out the framework for limited government, for making sure that government is not too involved in regulating the activities of businesses or individuals, and protects our civil liberties. And so first and foremost, that's the bedrock of my political philosophy. I also am a strong champion for this community and for the district. I think that your job as a representative is not just to vote the right way on issues, but to really be a champion and ambassador for the people and the communities that you represent. Mm-hmm. And as somebody who graduated from the University of Illinois, grew up in Central Illinois, I would be that strong champion for this district because I think you also want to be a role model and someone that people can look up to. And I take all of those responsibilities very seriously.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're running out of time. We just have a couple more minutes, and I wanted to close with a couple questions like, how can our listeners pray for you most effectively? Because one of your prayers for the broadcast was to encourage the listener to pray for the process, the political process. And it's a grind. It's a grind on you. It's a grind on all of us. You know, all the commercials, the negative advertising. And one of the things I've appreciated about you when I've heard some of the debates or some of the comments, you're not out to trash anyone. You just want to present some of the views. You want people to make some wise choices. You want to kind of know where you stand on things, but you're not trashing the other candidates. You're just trying to say, hey, let's get these things out in the open. Let's talk about them. But how can we pray specifically for you? So you want us to pray for the process. So explain what that means and then how we can specifically pray for you.
Well, in terms of praying for the process, pray for everyone who's involved in the political arena, because each person who's involved, I think, is trying to do what they think is right. And people will disagree about what is right and the right way of approaching something, but pray that people can keep focused on doing a good job and avoid engaging in negative campaigning and calling people names, because that brings down the whole process. Pray that people will have wisdom and discernment, because the problems facing our country are complex and there aren't a lot of easy answers. If they were easy, we would have them already and there wouldn't be a need to have those of us trying to be engaged in the political arena. But pray that people would have wisdom and discernment and would have a good understanding about the right direction to take our country. And if people feel led to pray for me, please pray that I would have wisdom and discernment and that I would have good health. I think that the reality of campaigning in this media cycle and this kind of a political climate is that you are campaigning 24/7. Mm-hmm. And I think that can undermine your health, your energy, but you ultimately want to be able to do a good job and reach as many people as possible. So if people feel led to pray for me, I would really be humbled by that.
And we'll encourage them to pray for your campaign manager, your dad, Bob Harreld, from Urbana, Illinois, one of our local owned. And the website is ericaharreld.com, ericaharreld.com, ericaharreld. And you can find out more and Facebook friend her. You can get that off of my Facebook friend or just type in Erica Harreld. It's probably under, oh, what are they when you're a
Erica media, Harreld for Congress.
Erica Harreld for Congress. Facebook a friend. Send her a nice note. Let her know you're praying for. And then when it's time to get out the vote, get out and vote. It's your civic duty. And here's a believer, a sister in Christ that wants to serve the kingdom and serve you, her constituents. She's right here from the greater Champaign-Urbana area, attended the University of Illinois, practices law right in Champaign.
Yes.
And is a great follower of the Lord Jesus Christ that wants to be used of God. So the website, ericaharreld.com, and you can find out more. And the Facebook, she has a lot of events that are coming up, and maybe you can attend one, and those are posted all the time. And she probably have a Twitter account, too, or something?
I do, Erica for Congress.
Okay, so you got all different ways to contact her. Be certainly praying her up in the days ahead, and we thank you for carving out the time. I know the busy schedule and all the demands, and it was fun seeing you at Fred and Diane's recently, and we wish you the very best, and we'll be praying you up in the days ahead.
I certainly appreciate that.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.